The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place, and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning and happy 4th of July. So I guess a brief introduction, because most of you have probably never seen me before. My name is Father Andrew. I am the new associate pastor here at Holy Family. I've been assigned here for the next 3 years, so I look forward to getting to meeting all of you over that time, over the next days, weeks, months. Hopefully it doesn't take longer than that to meet you guys. I promise I'm friendly. So please, if you see me walking around, stop me, chat. I don't mind, please. Before I get into the homily, I do want to say it's nice to finally be at a parish as a priest. 7 years ago, I entered seminary, and when you're discerning the priesthood, you're not thinking, "Oh, like I want to like spend 7 years studying." It's, "Oh, I want to go and get to the actual work of priesthood." And so now that I'm finally here, it's like I've finally gotten to where I set out 7 years ago. And so I don't know, it's kind of exciting. Anyways, yes, to the homily, I guess, right? All right. So in the gospel today, Christ went back to his native place, his homeland of Nazareth, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. At the second coming, when Christ returns here, when he comes to our native place, to our homeland, the United States, what will you find? Will you find us hard of face and obstinate of heart, like in the first reading? Will he be amazed by our lack of faith? Or will you find a people of faith devoted to his most precious body and life-giving blood? A few years ago, the Pew Research Center released an interesting statistic they learned about the Catholic Church based on a survey they had sent around to the parishes and parishioners throughout the United States. In this report of theirs, they said that only 1/3 of Catholics in the United States believe in the real presence. Only 1/3 believe that Christ is really, truly, and substantially present in the Blessed Sacrament. Only 1/3 believe that when the priest says the words of consecration at every single Mass, that the bread and the wine really become the body and blood, the soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. The rest of those surveyed either outright rejected the real presence and held that it's just a symbol, or they had no idea that the Church even taught this. These findings should concern us, because having faith in everything that Christ has revealed and taught is an essential part of being Christian, of being Catholic. Christ was clear when he told us at the Last Supper that the bread and wine weren't mere symbols, but it was truly his body and blood. Now, I understand that for some people, it might be too much to believe that at the consecration that the bread and wine transform into the body and blood of Jesus. Because how could this possibly be? It doesn't logically make sense. It's a supernatural thing. It's a violation of basic physics for something to be one thing and then be something else. But that's the whole point. This is a supernatural act that occurs at every single Mass that we attend. Daily on the altars around the world, not just here in South Pasadena, but in Rome, in Jerusalem, throughout the world. Faith in Jesus Christ is something that is required of us. Faith and trust in everything that he's told us. This is one of those things that he's told us. For some of us, perhaps it's hard to take the church's word for it, or even Christ's word for it, that transubstantiation really takes place. Maybe we have really pressing doubts or questions surrounding the Eucharistic miracle. That's okay. That's why Christ left the apostles. That's why the apostles left bishops. And that's why our bishops place priests at every single church in the United States and around the world, so that we can ask these questions, so that we can express these doubts to somebody who has studied it, 7 years studying it, somebody who's studied it and put their life towards this as much as possible. So if you have these questions about the Eucharist, if you have these doubts, that's okay. But what these questions do is it pushes us to delve deeper into our relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. So that, like St. Thomas in yesterday's reading on his feast day, we can touch his hands because he is truly present in the Eucharist. When we receive him in our hands or on our tongue, we are touching Christ. We have him with us. So that we can touch his hands like St. Thomas yesterday, so we can feel his pierced side and come to have faith in the Son of God. There's a spiritual devotion that I'd like to recommend just in general that has helped countless souls throughout the last 2,000 years, and it's quite simple. After the words of consecration, after the priest, acting in the person of Christ, says the phrase, "This is my body, which has been given up for me," and elevates the host for adoration, say the phrase, "My Lord and my God." These are the words that St. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, said yesterday in the gospel. These are the words that whether or not we have doubts, whether or not we completely believe in this, we can say as a prayer to help dispel our doubt, help dispel our these questions that we might have, and really come to believe in the true presence. These are the same words, again, that St. Thomas uttered after having felt Christ's side and his pierced hands. He believed and had faith. And so we too can join with St. Thomas at the miracle of the Eucharist taking place before our eyes at every Mass and say, "My Lord and my God." These words have been said over and over again for 2,000 years. They can't steer us wrong. So, my brothers and sisters, my friends, when Christ returns and he comes to our native place, to our homeland, these United States, what will he find? Will he find us hard of face and obstinate of heart? Will he be amazed by our lack of faith? Or will he find a people of faith devoted to his most precious body and life-giving blood?